Também. Mesmo. Well, I don't know, could you hear? And then saying during the exercise she had the opportunity to really meet with the first two of those truths. And really meeting with suffering and recognizing its cause and saying that it was very beautiful to me. So what about it was beautiful? Something about the simplicity in the way it was possible to meet your experience sounds like really touched you. And not just, like you're saying, not just the idea of it, but you really felt kind of a shift into that simplicity. So, how are you doing now? So she was speaking about the sense of simplicity was what was really beautiful. And not just the idea, but really sensing a change bodily as she shifted into that sense of simplicity and feeling the shift in that, you know, kind of embodied way, something in her belly that responded to that sense of simplicity. How are you feeling now? Just keep staying in touch with that. And the things you're mentioning, the excitement and the kind of nervousness that there might be going on, and the sometimes when something's understood in a new kind of way, there's a kind of energetic reconfiguring that happens. So just to stay sensitive, stay intimate with whatever's moving in you. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Michelle. The second question was tricky, yeah. So how's that affected in terms of, like, the answers you came up with were different than what you might have expected? How's that changed things? It's good. What kind of good? Sounds like you're willing to meet, not just willing to meet, but you're actually it right inside the neurosis and the stress and the stuff that's happening, rather than being in some kind of ambivalent, rejecting relationship. Yeah. And that frees up a lot of energy, which is what you're noticing and what's very obvious. Just seeing you being here more energetically, more brightly, more close to your experience. Yeah. It's a great example of what I was speaking about, how we judge the unpleasant, the difficult, the tense, as wrong, and kind of take whole chunks of our experience and make it unacceptable. So just reclaiming that territory. Oh yeah, I have neurotic reactions. Like, I'm just being willing to inhabit that. And that's the place from which we can start to actually recognize and explore and open up those things. Very difficult to explore our neurosis when we're busy trying not to experience them. Yeah.
I'm just asking, I find that it's pretty easy for me not to be stiff about pain that I know I don't have a lot to do about, like, sad or lonely.
Mm-hmm.
I can be quite open and feel it and not resist it, but I have other pains that I feel like they're calling to action. Like maybe mm-hmm. I don't need to be where I am, but in the job that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's very hard for me not to be stiff about it, because it's like an ongoing doubt and question, what should I do about it? So I cling to the pain something that alarms me. Maybe
I need
to do something different.
Yeah.
About what
emits. Yeah. Good question. Did you hear? No. What was your name? Efrat. Efrat was saying that she noticed a big difference between. She says I'm quite some capacity to really hang out with and accept pain that I know I can't do anything about. But then there's this whole other realm, like in my work, where I have some discomfort, some tension, some feeling something wrong, and it doesn't feel like something to accept, it feels like a call to action. And yes, that's a really important discrimination to make. Like I say, really being willing to acknowledge difficulty is not the same as just some kind of passive, like we're just going to accept everything. Some of those things are a call to action. So maybe it's time to leave your job.
Yeah. No, that's not the right
answer. Okay.
No, because what I want to stress is that I'm still there. I found that the last couple of weeks I was really with negative energy about, and I'm there. No, I haven't left yet. I'm there, but I'm doing with the pain something that is, I don't feel that it's the right way to be with the pain.
But sometimes we're in a kind of ambivalence, right? It feels like something's wrong. So, what are the options if something's wrong? Something's wrong, it's important to recognize, just to sense in, we don't necessarily know at the beginning, that is this is something's wrong that it needs action, right? That something's wrong, that actually we either remove ourselves from the situation, change the situation, or really inquire into the situation, what am I bringing? Is it something I'm bringing, is it more about resistance and incapacity and unwillingness? Or is it more about, hold on, these are just the not supportive conditions? And it's the same thing when we're just sitting with knee pain, right? Very, very helpful. Very, very worthwhile, very, very valid to be willing to just sit still with pain and investigate it and explore it and learn about our reactivity, learn about the way we create suffering about it. And yet there's also a time when it's appropriate to say, okay, enough, and to move. So it's a kind of an art that we learn to make that discrimination. There's this very famous Christian prayer which expresses that whole thing very beautifully. It says, O Lord, give me the patience, maybe you know, it's called the serenity prayer. Give me the patience to accept the things I can't change. Give me the courage to change the things I can change. And most of all, it's in brackets, that's my addition, most of all, give me the wisdom to know the difference. So we have to kind of really listen to ourselves to see if it's something that requires more of an inner shift or more of an outer shift. Yeah. Sure, what's your name? Ma'o.
Yeah. One of the things that you said is that sometimes those things are called corrections. And taking into consideration the fact that suffering stems from the difference between what is and what you think it should be, the action to do something to change the conditions or change the ideal. So, how do you choose when to fight against reality or just change your ideal? Either way is hard.
Well, if you're fighting against reality, reality is going to win.
There are conditions you can change. For example, leave your job. You won't feel bad at that job anymore. You may feel bad at a different one.
That's true. So certainly if you see a pattern there, like we do, we might do with jobs or we might do with relationships, another one comes along, oh, something wrong with you. Move along to the next one. Oh, something wrong with you. Move along to the next one. After a while, we might start to notice that the common denominator is me. Right? Yeah. So I don't want to get too much into a kind of hypothetical of what would you do about this and when do you do about that. But it's important to learn to kind of navigate. But whether it's about a change of relationship, whether it's about a change of circumstance, if, as you say, you have the sense that you're fighting against reality, if you recognize that there's tension, has to be suffering going along with that. One of these formulations of the Buddha which kind of stops all that in its tracks is where he says, where there's clinging, there is suffering. Where there's suffering, there is clinging. So, in a way, the places that are difficult for us, the places where we suffer, are an invitation. They're like a signpost. They're saying, hello, here's an indication that you're holding on, that you've got a fixed view, that you're being rigid, that you're rejecting in some way. So rather than being the things to struggle with and fight with, they're actually invitations to notice where we're holding on. And the beautiful thing about that is that where we actually notice, where we actually recognize that we're holding on, that's where we see and recognize the possibility for letting go. So the very place of suffering is also the place of freedom from it. Remind me again of Giti.
I find, I mean, I understand what you mean about suffering, but suffering is like, it's intense. There are, there is a suffering of like my knees hurting, and there's a suffering of like somebody from, of my family has died, for example. So, you know, to a different extent, then you can react differently. So I find it hard to understand how you can speak, not you, the Buddha, can speak of suffering as a one level, you know, it's not on a one line.
No, it's definitely not on a one line. So like you say, there would be many, 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 many levels of that, but the same mechanism in play. Where there's clinging, there's suffering. Where there's suffering, there's clinging. And if that doesn't seem right to you, that's fine. Don't believe me. Don't believe the Buddha. But check it out and see. Where there's suffering, whether it's around a small thing or whether it's about some of the very big and painful and confusing and devastating things of life, just might want to ask yourself a question. Is there a place that I'm tight around this, that I'm rigid around this, that I'm clinging here? Is there a way I'm making this situation see unbearable? It doesn't mean that it might not be a situation where there is sadness, where there's loss, where there's grief, where there's hurt, where there's a kind of poignancy. So I don't want to get too much into the kind of abstracted sense of, well, what about this and what about that? That has its place, but I'd like to just keep the exploration as much as possible sort of rooted in your experience and what's actually alive for you right now. Well, in some ways, I mean, I think that's true in terms of we start to see that we create a lot of our own suffering. Masochism is intentionally creating pain, you know, which is most of the time, it's not that we're intentionally trying to make ourselves frustrated, miserable, reactive, right, tight. It's just that our habit patterns, through not really understanding the nature of our experience and the nature of the medium of our experience, which we've been exploring, we end up in a relationship with our experience that actually creates difficulty, creates tension, creates suffering. But it's not masochistic usually in the sense that we're trying to make our life more difficult and painful. Well, like I say, it's not that we're going looking for it, we're just sitting quietly. Sitting quietly, you know, there's lots of other ways we could make things much more difficult. But we're just sitting quietly. And then, through sitting quietly, if we start to notice some way that are just, you know, we say, oh, what did you do this week? Oh, I sat around quietly, walked quietly, other people took care of all the food, I didn't need to decide what to do all day, there was just bells to come and sit quietly. And after some time there was another bell to walk quietly. And now and again somebody would speak and about different aspects of our life, and we got to talk to each other, and then we kind of explored what had happened for us. Sounds very straightforward and simple. And we say, oh wow, how was that? It was hell. So there's a clue in there somewhere. There's nothing in the conditions of sitting quietly, walking quietly, eating quietly that are hellish. There's nothing in the conditions of that that suggest one should meet that in a way that's tight, rigid, reactive, and making a lot of suffering out of it. So it's interesting to see how those supported conditions, peaceful place, nice food, friendly people, quiet rhythm, can get processed through our way of experiencing to come out as something that looks tough, painful, hard work, tight, etc. So it's the relationship to what's happening that gives the quality of experience. Like I said at the very beginning of the talk, that decides where, that determines whether we experience life freely or painfully. a very gentle difference. Yeah. What's your name? Shira. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure what you mean. How can we increase the stress?
Decrease.
That makes more sense. Okay. Well, I would say what's most helpful is not trying to decrease the stress, because the very trying is a stressful activity, right? Trying to not react so much, I've got to react less, that in itself is a kind of reaction. It's more seeing if you can actually just meet it, get inside it, become intimate with it, be interested in it, care for it, for the stress itself. Yeah, it's difficult. That's true. If it was easy, you know, we'd be out of a job. It's true. It's one of the most difficult things we can do, to actually face our life in a rather naked way, without distracting, without defending, without demanding that it be different. That's what we're usually doing, demanding, distracting, and defending. 3 D's, you can remember. Demanding, distracting, and defending. And what we're asked to do instead is 3 C's. Connection, curiosity, and care. So when there's stress, instead of demanding it be different, trying to distract ourselves from what's happening, and defending against the experience, see if you can connect to the stress. You know, this is what we're practicing here, right? Coming back to what's happening. Being curious about it, which is what we're supporting in the inquiry. What is it? And holding the process gently, bringing care, allowing, kind of a gentle, embracing attitude with our attention. And then the decreasing will take care of itself. Is there any? Well, the clinging is the stress. So as we bring attention, it's at whatever level we meet that at. When we notice stress, tension, anxiety, whatever it is, as we really bring attention to that, we start to notice what I've been calling the ego tensions in it. We start to notice what the clinging is, how it's operating, where it is in our body, what the attitude is around it. And when we notice that, when we really, really see it, naturally, we let go of it. We talk about letting go. Actually, we don't have to let go. We just have to see the clinging. Naturally. Once we see, it's like the example I often give. Because if somebody says to me, "Oh, Martin, relax," and I say, "Oh, yeah, okay, I'm relaxed," and they say, "Oh, what about your shoulders?" Oh, it's like as long as my attention hasn't gone to my shoulders, I can't notice that they're tense, right? Once I really see, once I really feel what tension is in my shoulders, naturally, when we really see tension, naturally we let go. Again, that bit takes care of itself. But we're so used to stressful meeting of reaction that we're kind of so used to carrying tension that we don't even notice we're doing it. And so we feel, oh, I'm relaxed. But actually when our attention gets more subtle, we notice, oh, there's more subtle levels of tension and clinging. And they soften. Oh, wow, this is relaxed. I never knew what relaxation was until now. And then as our attention gets more subtle, different ways of thinking. And then that opens up. Oh, I never knew what relaxation was until now. And that process can go on and on and on and on. And the degree to which our being can relax, the degree to which our being can open, the degree to which our being can expand, seems to be infinite. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, stop the time. To the extent that the inquiry and your experience is alive for you, as we go back from the transition from the relational into the silence, just to really keep tuning in to what you're noticing. You're kind of, you know, in the heart of the retreat. And the precious conditions of support and schedule and silence and support from each other, four S's. I don't know the alphabet. Silence, schedule, support. What was the other one? Something else. And just really let yourself be held in that. To let yourself stay close to your experience. Please enjoy supper.
Supper. That's the thought.